Good day, everyone. This is Martha Childress, and welcome to Sedona Spotlight, where each week my co-host, Dariel Archer, or I, will feature teachers, healers, visionaries, and other notables in their field from mystical, magical Sedona, Arizona. Sedona Spotlight is here to shine its light on you, so anyone, anywhere, or anytime can experience the amazing energies emanating from the sacred red rocks of Sedona, Arizona. You can also lighten up live from Seattle and vicinity in Washington State every Tuesday at 12:30 on Alternative Talk, 11:50 a.m., or listen live online from anywhere in the world at 12:30 p.m. U.S. Pacific Time by clicking the Listen Live link at SedonaSpotlight.com. And with me today is Raylene Abbott, a good friend and foremost expert, both experiential and through research, on all things related to the original origin, symbolism, and many of the many messages and adaptations of the Madonna or Divine Mother. She is a published author in 5 languages, including the titles, The Emergence of the Divine Feminine and A Mystic's Journey to the Sacred Sites of France, where she spent many, many years. And Raylene has also lived in both Mount Shasta and Sedona, Arizona, where she has been an expert and guide on vortexes and sacred sites as well, which is what we're going to talk about today. So welcome to the show, Raylene.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, not only are you the most knowledgeable person I know when it comes to vortexes and sacred sites, especially here in Sedona and Shasta, Mount Shasta, which just happened to be the 2 most powerful vortex locations in the United States. I especially love your unique perspective on the subject and how many of them are steeped in the symbolism of the divine feminine, which you are an expert in as well. So why don't you start by telling us a little bit about your background and how you would describe vortexes and sacred sites?
Oh, that's a big question.
Yep.
I think that what I do.
Yeah, in your perspective, how do you describe vortexes?
Yeah, in my language,
without the sign, in your language, yeah.
Yeah, it's very, very solid. I do a lot of it by looking into the rocks, and there are archetypes actually in the form of rocks, such as the ley lines take on the form of a physical dragon, and you just have to kind of shift the way that you look to see the dragon faces. And that's, you know, in China they would call, you know, they call it the green dragon, which brings the fertility into the earth. And so in Mount Shasta, there's what people call the vortexes in more of an ancient language, you know, from Asia. They would call them dragon lines. And there's always a female and a male. And once you start identifying that energy, then there is like energy tubes.
Yeah, like where the ley lines connect is where creates the vortexes. So where everything's just kind of more amplified in those areas.
Right. The dragon lines actually, what they do have a purpose. They distribute the fertility through the earth. So when you get up in the mountains, you'll see like dragon lines, and usually at their tail, like up on Mount Shasta, the forest begins. And one thing they're connected to is a lot of times sacred springs. So when you go to Europe or you go to Asia, like all through Europe, in France, Germany, the builders of the cathedrals actually built them on the dragon lines. When you go to Asia, you'll see, you know, dragon spirits at the top of the temples.
Yeah.
So they're very aware of that. And here in America, it's a little bit more obscure because you actually have to be able to what I call rock breed. But once you shift your vision into that, then you understand, like, wow, this is all here. And the mythos.
There's a reason you can see images in the rocks. So what can you tell us about the vortexes and what can you share about the vortexes and sacred sites specifically here in Sedona?
Well, to me, this Sedona is all of this reflects in the physical body. What's inside is also outside. And so if you look at the meridians, like in acupuncture in our bodies, if you look at acupuncture, they also have a dragon line. And at the top of the crown, all the meridians of the crown head all come up to the crown and connect. And they also connect at the feet. So Sedona has so many vortexes. To me, it's like the crown chakra in the earth. And I don't think that it's probably the only one. You know, I don't want to say, oh, this is the only one. Because I really don't. I don't really know that for a fact, so I'm not going to say that. But when I see
that is a crown chakra.
It's a very high energy place.
Yeah,
and it's reflected completely in the stones. Like I lived below Chimney Rock, and I walked Chimney Rock every single day. And some of the things that you know, I would see this like below Chimney Rock. You know. There's the land goes very flat, and it actually, from the runoff the water, it developed like vulvas that you could lay in, and the energy of, and if you were sensitive, you could actually lay in those like womb, like, I don't know what you'd even call them, but their depressions into the earth, and just feel the energy running through your body if you're sensitive, you know, and it takes a certain type of sensitivity and openness and trust because the energies are very, very powerful. And that's one of the reasons, one of the ways that you can tell you're close to this is the animals, like in the Roman roads that were built in Europe, they built over the animal trails because the energy is so strong, the animals would use that as a trail. And so the Roman roads were built over those trails.
Yeah,
and then the standing stones, which were ways of distributing that fertility through the ground, through the earth. They used, and those, and many of your cathedrals, if you look under the altar, there's actually a standing stone underneath it, or on, or like in San Maria del Mar, you can touch a fertility stone, and the gypsies still do and pray over it to have a baby.
Yeah. So, well, it's interesting because the birthing caves, are kind of out in that more of that West Sedona area too. And when you're talking about where Chimney Rock and Thunder Mountain, you know, that's where the Buddhist monastery is, you know, so a lot of, like you say, a lot of the churches and whatnot, they kind of understood where all these kind of ley lines and vortexes met is, you know, are considered the sacred sites.
And the Tibetan Buddhists are masters at it.
Yeah.
That's why it's there. They understand that. But it was more hidden in, you know, Christianity. And the power is there because it's like the chi in the ground. It's much more stronger. And then when you pray and you align yourself with prayer to the higher dimensions, it comes down. And so it's like earth and heaven aligning in the physical form. And that's why a lot of times great healings would happen to people because there's much more chi available. And when people pray or meditate and they also surrender, and then that energy can move through the blockages in the physical form.
And what about the iron in the rocks here? Is that because iron is kind of a conductor too. And so if there's like springs under the water, like around Bell Rock, and they talk about that being one of the larger, more powerful vortexes, that's a little bit more known. But I find if you just kind of, I mean, even my husband, you know, he's like, oh, you know, when I started kind of, he first kind of felt some things around some of the, Olympic National Forest around some of those ancient trees. It's like, boy, can you feel that? And he's like, wow, I can't. So he's starting to recognize it. And he's, We'll be walking along and we'll come around the corner and it's just like, wow, you can start feeling it. So you don't have to necessarily go to the well-known vortexes as you're walking around. If you start just kind of training yourself to recognize what that feeling is, you'll find yourself walking in and out of them all over the place here.
Yeah, because there's also the smaller ones. You'll have the, a big one like Bell Rock, but you still have smaller ones that distribute that energy that are manifesting. What I
I've
kind of
even noticed
wanted
it in those little areas where you feel something, you look around and then you can see the tree, and the tree's bark, the trunks are actually almost a spiral. And it's like, oh, okay, well that's
to.
another
Yeah, they're.
indication.
They're just mimicking the energy that's under the ground. But when I lived in Sedona, one of the experiences I had that was very powerful, and I had just moved there, I did not know the legends, the Native American legends. I was just going in there, naive. And so I went to Montezuma's Well. And when I was there, they don't even know where the bottom of this well is. It's a well, it's a sinkhole in the forest. And
And
it's
it's the
very,
largest in the world, the largest
right.
natural well
I
in the
don't,
world. And they can't, every time they put camera equipment down there, it gets pushed up. They can't find it.
So the, what I kept on seeing was one of the rocks, I saw this really angry dragon. Now, I went, wow. And then I saw, another dragon. And when I went close to the well, when I walked down to the well, the chi was so strong, I went into automatic qigong with my body. It was just, it had to, my body had to move with it. And when I came home, I started looking up and I found out that for the tribe's creation myth, the Hopi, Navajo, Mojave, and Yavapai people
Yavapai.
all have the same creation myth of White Pearl Woman. And when the flood came, they knew that it was coming. The ancient ones knew that it was coming. So they chose a beautiful woman and a woodpecker and put her in with food in a log and sealed it. And everyone was wiped away except her. And the log floated to the highest place in Sedona, in the, they call the red, in the Red Mountains. And I believe that's Chimney Rock. And the reason why I believe it's Chimney Rock was because when I was walking one day, I found in the stone this huge image of a goddess smiling, and it was, one of those great big long tall rocks, and she was standing, everything was red, but she was standing on a white stone. And some people call her White Stone Woman, some tribes call her White Pearl Woman. And I knew I'd found her. And so I read on to the myth, and they talk about her birthing the Yavapai people. And she went to the Mangus Mountains and birthed, and the sun fell in love with her. And so I read this part of the myth, and I'm going towards Cottonwood, and it was sunrise one morning, and all of a sudden the sun shined, and there was a huge vulva mound. And I said, oh my God, this is where the sun impregnated her. So it was physically, all of these things were physically in the earth.
Reflected in the landscape,
It's literally in the landscape. And from that place, she went to Boynton Canyon. And in Boynton Canyon, she birthed the Yavapai people, the people of the sun. And, so I actually found the places before I knew the myth. And then I put everything together. So, and this is physically. So it's not so much, there's a feeling, but there's also an opening of your eyes. You don't have to be clairvoyant. You don't have to be super sensitive. You just have to really look at those rocks and start seeing the imagery, the archetypes, that are in there, and these archetypes are ancient, and this is where I believe, you know, the native legends come from and the secrets.
Yeah.
That, and I was just gifted to be able to fall upon this one day, as I walk through. And even I wanted to say something about the Tibetan temple there, is the Tibetans have a story about self-arising Buddhas in the landscape. And so one of the
things... There's a lot of them around here.
Like where I lived, and I live very close to the stupa, and the self-arising Buddhas are carved out by the elementals themselves. So when they put a stupa together, there's many prayers and prayer wheels and satsas and offerings, treasure vases, all inside this. And the reason why I know is because I helped with the stupa making in Mount Shasta. So I saw it from the inside out.
Yeah, very cool.
And in that process, I started getting guided to these self-arising Buddhas. I had a face of the Buddha that manifested on the fence, very close to the chimney, that was just the wind and the rain, from the wind and the rain. And so these things, the elements literally eat the prayers, the elemental forces of the earth, wind, fire, sunlight, air. And they eat those prayers, just like they eat our thoughts. And then they manifest through these prayers. And so that's why in Tibetan Buddhism, a lot of times it's so important for them to make offerings to the local deities.
Yeah. Well, the formations are just amazing. And, you know, you don't have to, like you say, you don't have to be clairvoyant. You don't even, you know, some of them are so literal too, some of the faces and figures. And it's interesting because some of them seem Egyptian and some of them seem Native American. So it's interesting how, you know, and when you talk about the Buddhists too, they're all manifestations, I think, of, you know, these different, of different kind of prayers, and whether they're kind of more steeped in Egyptian or Native American or Tibetan, they do seem to manifest. And that's really interesting the way you put it, that it, it's the elements that actually do the carving.
Well, in major sites, and this is just my experience. So when I was living in Mount Shasta, I was a trail guide there, and I was going to the Dragon Lines, and I started discovering them. And when I was at Green Butte, I saw all these deities from all over the world. I mean, I saw Shiva and Shakti. I saw, a rock that looked like the face of Christ in the womb of the Magdalene. I kept on seeing. So I went, I used to collect herbs, a lichen off of the trees for this Tibetan teacher that was making earth treasure vases. So I told him about my experience, and he says, when you hit very major dragon lines or vortexes, let's call them vortexes, what happens is they're connected to the whole earth and all the mythos. So it's like an earth library. So when you're in a very big place like Sedona, Mount Shasta, the Himalayas, this will manifest.
Yeah.
Beyond the local, it manifests for the whole planet. And that was what I saw. And he told me, he said, well, if I were you, I would visit all of them. So over the next few years, I went just from one dragon line to another, walking the mountain trails, and then that energy took me to France, where I researched it more in a Western society, which the dragon lines, where they have St. George or St. Michael that cut off the dragon head, which actually, you know, Christianity created a mythos, a separation mythos that separated us from our earth origins. So a lot of my work now is about reweaving that broken record, so we can.
Your research of the Madonnas and everything too, that's the one figure that you see so much in so many of the stones, is the kind of Madonna and child, or a pregnant woman, or like you say, just so much the divine feminine. In fact, that Mary's Chapel in the Rocks, the Catholic church there.
The Madonna Rock.
Yeah, the Madonna Rock, yeah. Can you tell us about that?
I visited the place many different times.
Yeah.
Many different times. So when I was in France, I received a prayer, an offering prayer. And I was in Saint Port-Grémeux, which is kind of like a little Venice of south of France. And it was the Annunciation. And a forest fire started way, way out in the middle of the mountains in Provence. And you could see it. And we were sitting on the docks. And it was early morning. I was with a friend. And I had a pocket full of roses. And in that moment, I started offering the roses to the sea. And this prayer came out spontaneously, which I would consider a Christian prayer that actually honors the elemental forces. But I'll say this for you. Ave Maria de la Mer, Ave Maria de la Terre, Ave Maria de Feu, Ave Maria de l'Air, Ave Maria, Ave Maria, Ave Maria. So with each one of these, it's Ave Maria de la Mer, the name Mary was an enlightened being. And so I offered that enlightened being, I offered the elements of the sea to her so that they could eat that prayer. All those that are of the ocean, of the water, Ave Maria de la Terre is the earth, Ave Maria de Feu is the fire, and Ave Maria de l'Air is the air. And so when I started doing that, every time I put a rose down, and before I was finished, the roses were completely opened up, floating on the sea. And then that afternoon, they took the Madonna out of the church, and there was a procession of boats where they would choose the most prettiest girl in the town, and the priest, the Madonna, and the Shakti, the beautiful Shakti, the divine feminine, she would represent the divine feminine of the village, and they all went in this boat and blessed every single boat. And I just ended up being the second boat in the procession. So it was a sea procession. So I do this, this prayer I carry, and this is how I offer. I learned how to offer, in different traditions, but because my own tradition is Mary, and I was raised with Mary, that I've returned to that tradition so that I can help bridge the gap with the Western culture and starting with myself.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Well, we're running out of time here now, Raylene. So can you give everybody your contact information? And we'll also have it on our website where they can find your website, because you have so many wonderful examples of how to give back to the earth and the mandalas. And it's just such a such a lovely exchange of love and care.
So I'm on Facebook as Raylene Abbott, and my website is singerofgreensongs.blogspot.com. Okay.
And we'll also have that in the contact information with the archive. So you can just find it on SedonaSpotlight.com, as well as archives of our shows and lots of other information on our clean water projects for the Hopi and Navajo and other great resources. So please check it out. Well, I hate to cut it short. Yes, I could talk to you forever, Raylene, but thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Yeah, and thanks to all of our listeners for tuning in and turning up Sedona Spotlight, because collectively we can all be spotlights helping to create a brighter world and a better future for everyone and anywhere. So keep on shining, everyone, and have a great day.
Hello, my name is Tsering Lodu, and as a part of the Tibetan heritage, I'm discovering many sacred connections with my indigenous brothers and sisters around the world. I'm also learning how many of them are suffering because of the dirty water, and now it's time for us to help them. So, as we say, if everything is dirty, polluted, or gone, that means we are also gone, as life is a water. So when we take action to help purify our waters, we are also purifying ourselves. When water is polluted, so are we. When water is gone, so are we. So, therefore, it is important for me to connect with my indigenous brothers and sisters so we can share our connected and collective wisdoms with the rest of the world, which is how to live in harmony with the earth. The time is now, and right now we are starting with the Hopi and the Navajo brothers and sisters. So please, I request all of you to help this project, and I pray for you all. Love you, and thank you very much.